Let's move to post-submission briefs. This is a mini topic, so let's cut straight to the chase. In a 2015 judicial survey that was done by Scott Rothenberg, Kent Rutter, and Joanne Story that was presented at this court last year, the appellate judges of Texas were asked, well, how often do these briefs affect disposition of the case? And it was not, it's kind of a discouraging set of numbers. 65% said rarely, 33% said sometimes, and 2% said never. Now, we could posit a lot of reasons. You know, often the case is just too far down the road. But let's focus on things that maybe we can have a little more control of, and maybe that is that we're not using post-submission briefs quite as effectively as we could be. And so I'm going to focus on three pieces of advice. One is to start early. Second is to stay alert, and the third is to stay objective. So start early. If you start thinking about post-submission briefs for the first time post-submission, you've started too late. You really need to think about it from the moment you get notice of submission of the case. And what I like to do, and this is true whether or not you're being submitted on briefs or submitted an oral argument, at that time you need to sit down with the briefs and kind of line up each argument, take the first brief, take the response, then take the reply, and try and identify incomplete arguments or incomplete responses. If they are really, really important, you know you're going to need to include them in your oral argument, if you have oral argument in that case. And if you don't get to it, then you can consider a post-submission brief. But you also might focus, and this kind of feeds into stuff that we just heard about, is whether you could use these successfully somehow in your oral argument exhibits.